Council of Elders do its job, particularly around the election time, and Bilach will help us understand that process. Bilach, I wanted to start with you. I mean, you've worked or supported the Council of Elders, who now are playing a very prominent role in political processes at the county level. For people who are not familiar with that process, how do the Council of Elders work, especially around, endorsing a candidate for the political offices during elections?
They usually have, it's the Borana community is in 6 clans now, but they're in about 8 wards. So each clan has, each ward has about 37 members. And the 37 members is plus one, which comes from a Muslim, mostly Boranas are Muslim. So one person from the clergy or the religious leaders. And then we have, it goes to the, it goes to each clan, but now first the candidates have to declare their candidature, their interest to run for a political seat. Then they go and give out, the shortlist is being done by the sub-clans. So it's brought about to the council. Then the council agree on which seat will go to which clan. Each clan goes to their own area, to their own group, and choose the candidate they think is well fit. I come from Dambenon, I'm an Onitu. So we were lucky this time. We were eyeing for the seat of the South, MP South, but we're now in the Senate, and Nu is the candidate that was chosen by the community, by my clan. So I'd say it all falls down to the clan and who they bring about. That's actually a sneak peek of what they do. But there's too much politics going on down behind the scenes that some of the time is not seen by the rest of us.
Yeah, but I think, the Council of Elders in these communities have been playing, a very important role, be it conflict, ensuring that, water and pasture issues are addressed. But, from working, with them, how has it come about that now we have so much prominence for their role? Why is their endorsement such an important thing? I mean, you explained that, people only see what is going on here, but there is a lot that goes down there at, clan and sub-clan level where negotiations are done. And theirs is just, the front end. But why do you think the role of Council of Elders from, sub-clan and even at the community level has grown under devolution?
Well, resources are no longer at national level. So we don't go to the PC or the DC to ensure that we get the resources that are needed, or go to the MP. We have our own country by itself, being now that we have devolution. So there's this bit of dominance that everyone wants. Resources comes with leadership. Is also power, is also means, resources that goes to you. There's, I'd say at the moment, what we are looking at, and the reason as why they're very strong after devolution is because we always say that if you don't listen to the elders, you'll be cast, right? So there's this bit of people getting scared of not getting someone's blessing and you're cast for many generations, right? But now there's this issue of a clan coming up and becoming this big person, but mostly it's all about resources and it's all about dominance that is bringing about their strength. But I won't say the Council of Elders have been really strong until now. There's this bit of there's challenges, I'll be honest with you. Challenges that goes on with this, that comes about with these people. Some of them are retired
civil servants. And
the civil servants. There are those who are also working for private organizations, that they decided now that resources has gone back home, everyone is just going back home. Mm-hmm. And there's poverty at the end of the day. There's the vastness of the area and getting people who know the issues. And then there is also political interference here and there by the people who can influence. I'm sorry to say that corruption is not only at national level or the global level, but also goes down to the community. Yes. I hope I've answered your question, but it's mostly about...
It's important. It's about, you know, being able to be in charge of their destiny and their resources. And that is at the heart of, you know, what power is. Because you mentioned that you worked on gender before. And, you know, is it correct to say that, you know, most of the council elders are men, and therefore, how does that influence or not influence, you know, women or the gender issues being mainstream? That includes, you know, women representative being given a chance. In Isiolo particularly, we have, you know, two very strong women leaders.
To be honest, I'll say, first and foremost, I'll say that I was not gender. I am still going on with it. It's a part of me, by the way. It's actually what I did for my master's. And I did I did a bit of inclusion of women. And I know my community is very patriarchal. And at the end of the day, I'd say I am also supporting my communities, the Council of Elders, not only this Council of Elders, but I'm also planning to pick the other Council of Elders to ensure that there's an all inclusion of everyone. So the support I'm also trying to give is, it's a bit biased, so that we can be able to help them in the strategy, of which I think it's in the pipeline, to bring about women and also the youth into the fore. Yes, into the Council of Elders. I'm sorry, I hope I have answered the question.
Yes, you have. And, you know, to another point is, the Council of Elders are not necessarily elected individuals, and their legitimacy most of the time comes from the fact that, you know, if you're being told the Council of Elders will curse you, you know, you will not do something, particularly in these communities, right? You want their blessings, correct? Yeah. But, you know, that is a fairly informal process, and that is where their legitimacy stays. But now that they have moved into political space that is fairly formal, do you think that will take away their legitimacy that was given to them by virtue of their age, by the way the people are socialized? Do you think if they move into this space where with politics a lot of the time, you know, virtues like respect and the rest are not as premium, regarded as premium as in the Council of Elders and in informal space, do you think they will lose their legitimacy, their trust and their respect?
I'd say they might not. There's a bit of that comes about with poverty, yes. Like I said, the world, though it is moving, it's moving where the haves use the have-nots. And it's human nature for you to want to be able to fulfill your needs. But then I'd say for the Council of Elders, making it formal and moving in, it will not. It's only them now making sure that they have all their governance structure clear, and also the kind of the MOUs or any negotiation that they can have has now legitimacy into it. In as much as the informal way of theirs was really recognized, but now making them formal makes, I think it also binds anything that is being done. And at the end of the day, it will be an independent institution. Remember, if you are a network, if you are an organization that is not formal, normally you do not access funds. But now I'm looking at it in a very positive way. If they are they become formal, they are able to get their funding, they're able to form their strategies clear that can be seen. And at the end of the day, they have that power to negotiate on a table where everyone is equal.
That's brilliant. I mean, like now they are more or less like a corporate entity. They will be able to have their secretariat, their programs.
Yes.
And finally, you know, if they endorse a candidate, as they have done, you know, in Isiolo and other parts of the country, would they then be would they elected or endorsed leaders? Of course, after being endorsed, you have to go and seek the votes. But do you think, you know, a lot of the time, because of the endorsement from the Council of Elders, they will be beholden to them in a way than, let's say, to the voters? Would they feel like their allegiance lies with the Council of Elders than the voters?
I'd say the Council of Elders are men of wisdom for now, before we bring on board the women and the youth.
Yes.
They are people of the wisdom, respecting the community, and they are in that position because they've been chosen by the community and they are trusted by the community. The fact that they are endorsing someone to take up a leadership position means that they can be accountable for whatever is needed from the community. Remember, these elders represent the community. So the bit of accountability, the bit of accountability as well as transparency comes on board. And there's that bit of ensuring that the needs of the communities are prioritized well. In my opinion, it might sound crazy, but I think it's good for them to be there, and they'll be like those people who represent the community fully. So I think they have the respect and they have that position in the community very well known for them to take that position. So I think it's a win-win situation for the community and also for the community and also the leaders. That will make them ensure that things are done. And like when a person runs for a seat by his or her own will, then you won't be accountable to anyone. Yes.
No, thank you so much, Bilaj, for sharing your insights. I mean, I'm sure we'll come to you again. Once again, thank you. You know, we've learned stuff that we didn't know about the Council of Elders. You know, have a nice day.
Thank you so much.
Yeah.